welcome to 10 Minutes of International Current Events. I'm Carl Azus, reporting from Atlanta, Georgia for CNN Student News. First up this Wednesday, Russian drones over Syria. We've told you before how Russia has been building up military equipment and troops in Syria. It seems to be supporting the Syrian government in the Middle Eastern country's civil war. That concerns the U.S. because it opposes Syria's government and wants its president removed. Russia has started to fly drones, unmanned aircraft there. U.S. officials say it looks like they're doing surveillance. They haven't said whether the drones are armed. Here's where this gets more complicated, though. The U.S. is leading airstrikes against the ISIS terrorist group in Syria. American officials are now concerned about possible run-ins between American and Russian aircraft in the skies over Syria. Next up, Pope Francis, the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, arrived on U.S. soil yesterday. It's the pontiff's first trip to America. And when his plane arrived, President Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama and their daughters, as well as Vice President Joe Biden and his family, were there to greet the Pope. He'll be in the U.S. for 6 days, traveling to Washington, New York, and Philadelphia, and will give the first ever joint address to Congress by a Pope. He's influential and closely watched, both inside and outside the Catholic Church.
In just over 2 years, Pope Francis has shown the world how the leader of the Catholic Church can be compassionate, comedic, controversial, and captivating. Here are some ways the pontiff has surprised us all. For one, he certainly hasn't been shy about getting up close and personal with his fans. From letting someone play with his cap and giving a pair of schoolboys a lift in the Popemobile, to even posing in a few selfies. And remember that homily when a young boy walked up on stage to get a closer look at the Pope, even kissing his cross, but the pontiff didn't seem to mind. Several cardinals even tried to persuade the child to leave, but he refused, instead wrapping his arms around the Pope's legs, and was then allowed to sit in his chair while the Pope gave a speech. In another endearing moment, Pope Francis clowned around with a newlywed couple and donned a red nose with the bride and groom. And then there's the humble side of the Pope. At a detention center in Rome, he washed the feet of two women, ruffling the feathers of a few traditionalists. It is written in liturgical law that only men can take part in the ceremony, which reenacts Jesus washing the feet of his 12 disciples, all of whom were men. In another sign of humility, Pope Francis embraced a disfigured man suffering from a genetic skin condition known as neurofibromatosis. The truly powerful image went viral. Pope Francis has also made moves that have disturbed some conservatives who believe he's making too many changes too quickly. He authorized priests to forgive the sin of abortion and make it easier and faster to get an annulment. He issued a papal encyclical about the dangers of climate change, pleading for global action to help stop it. In the wake of the attack on Charlie Hebdo, the Pope condemned the violence, but said there are limits to free speech. If someone says a swear word against my mother, the Pope said he's going to get a punch in the nose. And throughout it all, Pope Francis has earned some interesting titles. In 2013, Esquire named him their best-dressed man, and Time gave him the iconic label of Person of the Year. Rolling Stone also elevated the Pope to rock star status by making him the first religious head to grace the cover, paired with the headline, "The Times, They Are a-Changin'."
Germany, Hawaii, and Michigan, get ready to travel on today's Roll Call. Wiesbaden High School, we're shouting out the Warriors today. Hello to our viewers in Wiesbaden, Germany. From the Hawaiian island of Oahu, say hello to the Rams. They're watching from Admiral Arthur W. Radford High School in Honolulu. And in northern Michigan, Harbor Springs is on today's roll. Great to see the swordsmen of Harbor Light Christian School. You learn in science that black holes form when stars collapse and that they have such incredibly intense gravity that not even light can escape them. At least that's the theory. There is some controversy over whether black holes actually exist. Some scientists, including Stephen Hawking, have said they don't. Others argue they're mathematically impossible. Those who disagree with that say that not only are they real, but that two of them are about to collide.
Black holes are some of the strangest and most mysterious objects in space. Scientists say they have found new clues that two black holes might be merging. a phenomenon some consider the holy grail of physics. NASA says two of its space telescopes have found new information about an odd repeating light signal coming from the center of a distant galaxy in the Virgo constellation, about 3.5 billion light years from Earth. Researchers say the new data is the best evidence yet that the light signal is coming from two supermassive black holes, and that the duo is orbiting closer together than any pair detected so far. Scientists were able to track the changing light patterns over the past 20 years using ultraviolet data from Hubble and the Galaxy Evolution Explorer. The two black holes are expected to collide and merge in less than 1 million years, triggering a huge explosion. Why all the interest in black hole mashup? For the most part, black holes are a huge mystery. Scientists think there are billions of them in the universe, but they can't actually see them. Experts say they can detect gas and other materials being sucked into the black holes. In the final moments before they collide, it's predicted the black holes will cause ripples in space and time called gravitational waves. And scientists say those waves could hold clues about the fabric of our universe.
The Gettysburg Address is one of the most famous speeches in American history, but there's no known photograph of President Lincoln actually giving it. Why, you ask? Well, it's short, like 10 sentences and 272 words short, like 2 to 3 minutes short. Some historians think that because it's so short, photographers didn't have time to set up their cameras to capture it. Now that's random. All right, sticking with the Civil War theme, the CSS Georgia, CSS standing for Confederate States Ship, served near the southeast Georgia coast. It never fired a shot in battle. Confederate troops intentionally sank it when Union forces approached in late 1864. A little more than 100 years later, a dredge ran into the ship's wreckage in the Savannah River. Now the U.S. Navy is helping recover a giant relic of the American Civil War.
We are right now in Savannah, Georgia, to salvage the CSS Georgia. It's an old Confederate ironclad.
The Georgia has had numerous failed salvage attempts, so there's no shortage of debris down there in addition to the Georgia. We're mobilized here on board our Naval Sea Systems Command support platform, moored in the middle of the Savannah River.
Anytime you're working underwater, it really comes down to feeling your way around, especially working in zero visibility. I mean, 6 inches to a foot is a good day. Right now, we're lucky enough to have the archaeologists and underwater sonar device that could literally pinpoint us and put us onto any artifact that they've previously discovered already.
Something we've been saying a lot of is diving into history. You know, we're actually revisiting the Civil War on every single dive, and after every dive, we actually have a chance to take a look at some of those things from that period here on deck and, you know, kind of asking the question, what is that thing? Even though we don't have plans for the Georgia, we know a lot about the ship's construction just based on period. And we've also been relying heavily on the previous archaeological operations, the things they found and mapped to guide us in our salvage operation. Our divers are outfitted with a helmet-mounted camera and light system, so we can actually see what they're seeing, but a little bit better on the camera topside. We're also using a variety of sonar technologies to track our divers' movements and effectively guide them through that debris field on the bottom. Just about everywhere we step down there, we're walking on some piece of wreckage. While the debris field is very wide, I'll say it's also very dense. There are a good number of artifacts on the bottom, and it's always a new challenge. And really, Georgia, she doesn't want to give up any of her secrets easily.
Three things you might see in New York City: pizza, the subway, and rats? They're generally not seen all at once, though, so it's no surprise this video went viral. A ravenous rodent recently recorded running rapidly with a ration of pizza. The slice was larger than the carrier. And though we don't actually get to see him eat his hard-won sample of Subway sustenance, we can assume he rat-turned for it later on. Guess when you're a rat, you gotta get carry-out. Delivery could be a trap. And though the to-go meal made us all stop and stare, even those with unmistakable musophobia rodent have wanted to miss it. Rats all, folks. CNN Student News Pizza's together another show tomorrow. It'd be sliced to see y'all then.